Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack, and Jim is across from me. Hey, good morning, Jim. How are you? There you go.
My mic on for you, everyone, to hear my yay. I'm back.
Jim is back in the comfortable chair, comfortable studio here in Sandpoint, downtown Sandpoint.
Downtown fabulous Sandpoint.
Yeah, and we were talking last week about these the new comfortable chairs that we have here in the studio. You're standing at the moment, but people may not even recognize that they're tuned into KRFY because they don't hear that familiar squeak whenever I take a cup of coffee. Our guest this morning, who we'll be in conversation with a little bit later, we have the fabulous Debbie Love from from the Bonner Community Food Bank and Reina Dilemma. Did I say that right? The branch manager of the Washington Trust Bank.
Good morning.
I did it again.
Okay, wait, you got to say good morning again.
Oh, gosh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful.
Community radio.
Absolutely, but we should be held to the highest standards.
Yes.
Besides the new chairs, I want to say when I walked down the street, I thought they were going to continue.
Oh, the construction.
Yes. I thought they were going to continue. And I come here, I've been gone, 5-6 days, and bammo.
You can actually drive down First Avenue, though.
Or walk down and notice that. And you got to be careful now with the traffic, because now they're back zipping down, and it's a straight shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, first of all, Jim, you were gone last week. We had the wonderful Carrie Logan here in your chair.
Yay, Carrie.
And where have you been? Tell us about your travels.
I was in, let me tell you, the summer here in Sandpoint prepared me for San Francisco. The smoke here just prepared me for really not good. I was down in San Francisco for 6 days, but a lot of people wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
What I decided, what the heck, I don't get down there that often. So I walked across the Golden Gate Bridge, took the ferry to Sausalito, and then walked across the bridge. Always a wonderful experience. And then I did a first-time thing. I went to Alcatraz.
Ooh, you've never been there before.
No.
I've never been to San Francisco, so neither have I.
But, well, put Alcatraz on your list. Have either of you, Reina or Debbie, been to Alcatraz?
I haven't. I have.
You have?
Years ago.
Fun. I mean, the history behind it and you walk through the cells and they give you headphones. You don't have to pay for them. And a wonderful narrative as you weave your way through the history and little bits of details that you learn, like why no one ever escaped. The saline solution in the San Francisco Bay is like at about 16% because it has all of the fresh water from the hills, East Hills, flowing into it. Mm-hmm. So it's not as floatable as the ocean.
Oh.
So you've got the currents and you've got the cold. And what they used to do when the men would take showers, they would give them warm water.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so therefore, if anyone thought about escaping, one little toe into the bay and
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Neat little stuff you learn like that.
Is it a state park? It's a national park. Yeah.
And I find this hard to believe, but they said it's the 7th most visited site in the world.
Wow.
I know that they get around between 7,000 and 8,000. How long ago did you do it, Debbie?
Oh, goodness, 20 years ago.
And what do you remember from it?
I remember that it was a little eerie. I was a lot younger. And it was around this time in October, so I was really into the is it haunted kind of thing.
Oh, well, you can walk into the isolation, where if one's been a bad prisoner, you can walk into there and how dark it is in there. And one inmate, they can only put you in for a maximum of 19 days. I guess on the 20th day, you're really over the edge. But one prisoner would take off a button. And then they'd lock him in there, and then he'd flip the button up in the air, and then he'd spend time trying to find it because it was so dark, but it kept him busy. He'd find the button, he'd flip it up in the air, turn around, and then disorient himself. And
wow.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, I had a great time. Everybody should get to San Francisco. We walked the ocean. We went over to Berkeley. I went to my favorite Half Price Books and Pegasus Books, and just a great area. And then, but unfortunately, when I was over in Berkeley on a week ago Friday, I saw a lot of Washington State apparel. Washington State played Cal Berkeley on Saturday, and that's a game that I'm sure they'd like to forget.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to be back.
Well, those of us who weren't listening earlier this morning, you gave us a little weather preview during Democracy Now! The previous show.
Give us more.
Well, no major change here, Jim. It looks like we're at about 46 degrees currently, with a high of 52 today and 100%. Chance of rain today.
Boy, is that a good sound?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's going on. That's today, tomorrow, 100% chance of rain. High of 50 degrees. The chance of showers is easing off as time progresses on Friday to just 30% on Friday night. Then the chance of rain in the morning on Saturday is only about 40%, but increasing to 70% as the day wears on. Heavy rain predicted on Saturday night, 100% chance of rain again on Sunday, and then partly sunny on Monday with 53 degrees as the high, if we're not all floating by then, I guess.
I kind of wish that in an ideal world, the rain would be spread out rather than 100%, maybe. And then rain would only occur between 10 at night and 6 in the morning.
That would be nice, too.
You know, I mean, it's not good for, let's say, overnight truck drivers and people like that. But I'm just thinking in my ideal world.
It's a different climate out here than I grew up with in the Midwest, where you would get. It seems like you'd get, especially in the summertime, you'd get thunderstorms, big rain all at once over the course of a couple hours. But you wouldn't get 4 days of rain steady drizzling in a row. Not usually.
And we could have used this during the summer around Labor Day,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the fires from all over were contributed to poor air quality as well as the land that got scorched. We could use, and then the huckleberries could have used a little bit of rain too. For
sure. Were they a little?
I only went out once, and I'm happy, but I could have picked more.
Mm-hmm. I imagine you could have. I know in years past you've had a surplus, and it maybe not.
This
so
is going to be a.
this is one of those lean years.
It's a first world concern. You know, I don't have enough huckleberries in my freezer. Oh, darn.
Well, here we are in the studio, and now we've babbled away for about 8 minutes, and it's time to turn to our guests, Raina and Debbie. Good morning again to you two.
Good morning.
Thank you for being so patient with us.
Oh, thanks for having us.
With the Bonner Community Food Bank, we're going to start off with Debbie, and then we'll go to Raina and why she's here with the food bank. She's from the branch manager from the Washington Trust Bank. Debbie, what was the summer like for the food bank?
It was a busy summer. It was my second summer, and I have noticed that we do see an increase in families during June through August. In fact, we saw a 22% increase.
How do you account for that?
So fortunately, we have a great database that people come in, we are tracking if they're homeless, how many people are in their household, their income levels, all of those things, so that we're able to pull those statistics to be able to share with people.
Now that's a 20% increase, but you still need. How do you get 20% more food?
I know. Well, unfortunately, we didn't have it. So the garden. Fortunately, we had the garden, and also our community garden, the Sandpoint Community Garden, was able to donate produce to help us.
Fresh produce. Perfect.
Which is expensive in the stores for families, and we were able to provide that. And out of our little garden that we started this year, we were able to harvest 135 pounds.
And what kind of veggies?
We got, we had snow peas, green beans, rainbow chard, rainbow carrots. We had
the K word?
Kale. We had a little bit of kale and cabbage.
Oh, what the kale?
Potatoes, peppers, and all sorts of variety.
Are you going to do it again?
We are. Yep.
Oh, what fun. Mm-hmm. And tell us about the Priest River facility.
So for those that do not know, we have a facility here in Sandpoint, but we also serve the west side of the whole county, but there are a lot of transportation barriers for families. So we've opened up a Priest River facility, and it's been around for 15 years or so. There was a former director, unfortunately, who passed away, and then Alice, my predecessor, was able to come in and help take over Priest River to keep it sustained. But we are growing. We have been in with the Happy Agers, which is the senior center there in Priest River, for many years, and they are wanting to expand their facility for their own needs. And so we have been looking for a place, and we have found a facility to rent. It's out of the Rivertown Mall. We'll be right next to actually the Priest River Ministries Advocates for Women. And it's a 1,200 square foot facility, and it'll be opening November 1st.
The Happy Agers.
Yes.
Happy. Love it. Okay. and this is, I'm not totally familiar with where that is. Is that like in the kind of the downtown off the highway area, or is it right on the...
Right when you come into town, it's on the left-hand side.
Okay.
So just...
Cool. So we'll have to come out and pay you a
visit. You'll have to come and pay a visit, yeah.
How does the, you mentioned square footage, how does the size compare to the one here in Sandpoint?
Oh, in Sandpoint, we are 4,500 square feet.
Oh, so okay.
They're serving in Priest River about 100 families a month. And we
That's significant.
Mm-hmm, and we serve 3,300 average a month.
So. And how does the food donation work? Do you share... you know, whatever food you receive, or do they have their own sources?
They do have their own sources, which is great. The Priest River area is very gracious, just as they are throughout the county. And then Second Harvest will actually, we get a monthly donation from them of food, and we will split that with Priest River.
Nice. Can we introduce your friend here? Raina, this is your first time on the air. Why don't you say who you are and what you do and how you got involved with the food bank?
Sure. My name is Raina Dilemma, and I'm the branch manager at the Washington Trust Bank here in Sandpoint. We got involved with the food bank. It was just one of those things where we were looking for more opportunities to help the communities that we serve in. And what better way than to help out the food bank? And so it was just a great partnership from the beginning, and the team at Washington Trust is extremely passionate about helping with the food bank, and so it was just one of those things where it was a great opportunity for us.
And tell people, the listeners, how you are working with Debbie in terms of what activities, and how does the bank, how does any organization help the food bank?
We started out as helping with the backpack program, and so...
Oh.
I would
great
go
program.
In.
Isn't that?
It's wonderful. It's really great to be back there with all the volunteers and knowing that children are going home with food. And it's a great experience. But we started out with that. And so I still come in and do that from time to time. And then we started sponsoring some of the fundraising events. And so we sponsored the Bowl-a-thon. And then we're also going to help out with the new event that's coming up. And gosh, pretty much any opportunity that Debbie says I need help, I'm in.
She's there.
Can you back up and explain the backpack program for someone who might not know what it is? Because I know what it is, and I think it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it's a program that the food bank, so we started 5 years ago, and then after we were sponsoring three schools, Kootenai, Northside, and Hope. And then Food for Our Children came around in 2015, and they were able to help us expand the program. And so we're providing all of the elementary schools in Bonner County, except for Washington right now, with weekend food for children. So they're...
How many children are impacted by this program here in Bonner County?
We are now up to 400 food bags a week.
So 400 backpacks a week go home on a Friday with food in them, and then they come back on a Monday?
Right.
400. Mm-hmm. That is staggering.
Incredible.
Don't you think so, Jack?
I do. You know? 400 is a big number.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's amazing that you guys do it. It's a little bit depressing that that's needed. So that's a... That's unfortunate. You know, you also mentioned earlier that you saw an increase of, did you say 20%?
Mm-hmm.
Just over three months?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you can, like, attribute that to? Or
it's interesting. it's employment basically, and we've had and housing, lack of housing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in ways that we can help with food, they're able to help themselves in other areas. And so we're seeing actually a lot of families living in campsites. Mm. And for example, we just had a family come in. The parents are both employed at Lighthouse, which is a great employer for our area, but they just can't find the housing. So they have two children. They're living at a campsite, right? Bring them wow. in every morning. They had to work. And yeah, so
yeah.
stories like that every day. So it's basically employment and housing is what we're seeing.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And I mean, shows kind of the ripple effects of, you know, you have one, we definitely do have work, you know, especially you listen to the Wednesday morning show where we're doing the interviews with the candidates right now for city council. And one of the big topics is the ongoing housing crisis. But now you see that.
You see the ripple effect right. of the houses. One more time for someone who might not know where the food bank is located.
We are at 1707 Culver's Drive off of North Boyer, near the airport there, next to the UPS packaging. So if anyone's interested in volunteering for backpacks, we do meet on Wednesdays at noon at the food bank.
Okay, and does one just show up or does one call ahead?
They can just show up and we'll take care of them right there.
And you have 400 backpacks that you put food in, like everybody puts in something. You know, you go around the line and pick something up. That is Wednesday at noons at the food bank. And let's talk about an upcoming event.
Yes.
That's going to be occurring in mid-November, November 18th. And it's Washington Trust is a sponsor. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it, Raina?
Sure. It's the Empty Bowl. And so... Well, actually, Debbie would probably be much better to talk about the logistics of it.
We have a great volunteer. Her name is Nanette, and this will be our third year in putting this on, but it's evolved every year. And now it's kind of turning into a fair where we have high school students and the Lake Pondere Alternative High School and then Pottery Bug locally where they're making ceramic bowls. And everyone that comes in, it's $20 per person. They come in and they can receive a bowl of soup with some bread. And this year we're going to try some alcohol.
Ooh. So
we will have...
In the soup?
I'm yeah, sure beer, Judy could...
A beer cheese.
Beer cheese soup, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's been a request from patrons that have visited. So we're going to have some wine and beer available if mm-hmm. people are interested in that. Of course, you do not have to partake, but...
And that is at where?
It will be at Columbia Bank in the atrium there, Tango Cafe.
And the time?
The time is from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And
it's
a casual event where people can come and go and get their bowl of soup and stay, enjoy some music. The Mobius Riff Band will be playing. And then we'll have the Girl Scouts there. Allegro Dance will be doing some dances for us. It'll just be a fun affair.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be serving, Raina?
If they need me to, I'd be more than happy to do that. Oh, I'd want to be eating, too.
And how many choices of soups? I mean, like from the previous year?
This year, we're just going with potato leek soup. So
potato leek soup.
That's
always a home run.
Yeah, mm-hmm. fits the dietary needs of those that are vegetarians and non. So.
Okay, you have a successful event. And we want to thank Washington Trust Bank for sponsoring it. And where does the money go then? If somebody says, okay, I've got my bowl of soup, I got my bowl, I've given you $20, where does that go?
It's a great question. That money goes into our market. So we distribute food to our clients through a market where it's client choice. Every family is allotted a certain amount of points. And the money raised from the fundraiser will be able to buy foods, those necessary items, you know, proteins, peanut butter, beans, canned meat, tuna fish, things like that to keep our stocks full throughout the winter and hopefully through getting us through the January through February months as well.
We're talking to Debbie Love, by the way, the executive director, right, of the Bonner Community Food Bank, and also in the studio, Raina Dilemma, the branch manager of Washington Trust Bank, that being a sponsor of the upcoming Empty Bowl event on November 18th at Columbia Bank.
Yes.
Yeah.
4 to 7?
4 to 8.
Okay. So
plenty of time.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to know is when one has a tendency to think of Thanksgiving and Christmas as boom times real of need, but it's really year-round, isn't it?
It is, yes. In fact, most of our donations that we receive are through the months of November and December, and we do what we can to preserve. You know, we have a lot of overflow, so we will stock food in the back that we can bring out through January through August, essentially, is mm-hmm. what we're trying to build for, because the donations significantly go down once January comes.
Everybody mm-hmm. figures that we got them through the holidays. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned volunteers for the backpack. How about elsewhere in the food bank? What are some of the volunteer positions?
Yeah, we have a need in our office. If volunteers would like to help in our office, which means checking in the clients or answering the phones. We also, in our market, it's really where we need the volunteers, where they're checking out clients. It's like a grocery store. We need people up front there helping or asking questions. And then also in our receiving area and back in the warehouse, receiving foods, stocking the shelves, doing inventory. Checking for dates. We always try to do the best we can thoroughly. When a donation comes in, we check
make
every
sure
date.
That the food mm-hmm. Best Buy, you know, exactly. That sort of thing went to Best Buy. How about hours? Let's say I have a busy schedule, but I would like to donate a couple hours per week. Is there a, and are they flexible? Like I'm going to be visiting my grandson back. How does that, because a lot of time with volunteers, there's the concern that all of a sudden they're locked in and they don't have the flexibility.
Right. We are flexible. Our hours are limited. We are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And shifts usually go 8 to noon or noon to 3. But then we have volunteers will just drop in when they see our van going around town picking up our grocery rescue program. They'll follow it in and then help unload that and get that on the shelf. So we're willing to work with anyone who wants to help and give back.
You should put like an ice cream, you know, make it play a yes. sound or something, attract the volunteers. We should probably take a little
musical
break.
Should we take a break? We're, mm-hmm. we're here with Debbie Love, Bonner Community Food Bank Executive Director, important person who keeps it going, and Raina Dilemma from Branch Manager Washington Trust Bank that is sponsoring the Empty Bowl event. And well, let's take a break. Rather than 50 years ago today, let's go back 60 years ago today, back to the 50s on this date, October 19th. I'm looking at that. My gosh, this month is whizzing by. Yeah. 1957. This song was number one, and it was controversial. And I'll tell you why it was controversial after we listen to it. The Everly Brothers with George Bush's most favorite song, he said one, back in 2000. Wake Up Little Susie, Everly Brothers.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
Wake Up Little Susie by the Everly Brothers, the number one song on October 19th, 1957.
Controversial.
And controversial because the plot of the song is the young man picks up Susie and she's supposed to be home by 10. But they go to a movie and mm-hmm. they fall asleep and he doesn't get her home till 4. Uh-huh. And I mean, don't forget, this is the 50s where when Lucille Ball on the Lucy show, she becomes pregnant, they could not show her being pregnant on television. So mm-hmm. things like that. So the suggestions, some radio stations in Boston banned this song. And but Rolling Stone rated it as the number 318th best rock and roll song ever by the Everly Brothers.
Yeah. I was just that opening riff was a little bit more of a rock and roll kind of song than I was expecting. I've everyone knows that song, kind of just the chorus and stuff, but
it's a great song.
There is some musicianship
there. Yeah. Simon and Garfunkel do a cover version of it on their Bridge Over Troubled Water album. Mm-hmm. I think it's a live version. But anyway, a little bit of... we are here with Debbie Love and Raina Dilemma from the Washington State Bank and the Bonner Community Food Bank. Hey, two banks.
I know.
Whoa. Hey, that's sort of neat.
Yeah.
I have a totally off-topic announcement to make.
Okay, go
for it.
Make a neat segue.
I think I can announce the birth of Paxton John Jones in Missoula, Montana, as of right now, those of you keeping track at home. That's totally off-topic and unrelated.
I just got some wonderful news. Tom Jones?
Oh, just a friend of mine. Actually, the father is from Sandpoint, Idaho, but now lives in Missoula. And I just got a text message with some wonderful news.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah. How about that?
That is way too cool.
Yeah.
Do you think he's tuning in streaming?
I don't. Well, probably not the dad, but maybe the grandparents. They live here.
You got to start early.
Yeah.
That
could actually be interesting information for some people out there. Because he does
see,
have
we
roots
could
here.
Segue it in. You know,
yeah.
That even if you're not here in Sandpoint, you can listen to us in Missoula, Montana, even if you're with your newborn.
Yeah. How cool is that? But we're here with Raina and Debbie talking about the food bank and the Empty Bowl event coming up, and just volunteerism with the food bank in general. Raina, you're the branch manager of the Washington Trust Bank.
Mm-hmm.
When did you first get involved with the food bank?
Probably about a year ago. I had just moved to Sandpoint. I was transferred from the Boise area, and so I was just looking for a way that we could really jump in and make a difference. And I ended up putting in an application with the food bank and got a call from Debbie.
Yeah, it was great. Raina came into town. Actually, we got a check from Washington Trust Bank. I'll give you kudos. It was an $800 check. And my jaw just dropped thinking, whoa, we're getting this money from Washington Trust. Why? And so, you know, this is wonderful. So I picked up the phone right away and was asking for the branch manager. And it was Raina. And she shared with me that she had moved here. And in the meantime, I was on another committee and we received an application from Raina to volunteer on another committee that I'm on. That's not part of the food bank, but another organization. And I thought, this woman's really getting around. I like her, you know, and I just thought, mm-hmm. Wow, what a great person to come into the community. And she's really reaching out to all different organizations within Sandpoint. And so I called her up and she said, yeah, I want to help with the backpack. And so she started showing up on Wednesdays. And then I thought, we needed a sponsor for one of our spring fundraisers. I'm going to call Raina. And Raina said, sure, I'd love to do that. And then she also just recently purchased a pig for us from the fair. So she paid for the processing and all of that, too.
Oh, how wonderful.
So, yeah, she's doing a lot for us, and we really appreciate our banks and especially Washington Trust.
What have you learned, Raina, from your association with the food bank?
Just the sheer number of people that need help. And it's humbling. It's a humbling experience. And I had no idea. I thought that when I was going in to help with backpacks that – I was going to be there for 30 minutes or, you know, just a quick lunchtime volunteerism opportunity. And it's not. It's so much bigger than that. And so it's that was the most surprising thing for me.
Personally, I think that for me, I've never been hungry. I mean, yeah, you know, oh, mom, I'm hungry, you know, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But I've never been hungry to the point. There's always been food. It might not be, I can remember growing up, in order to make hamburger stretch, my mother would put bread cubes mm-hmm. in it with eggs, and the hamburger would, but it was never a concern. I mean, I just assumed that there'd always be a breakfast and a lunch and a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And how that must change for somebody who does not have access to that, and how it must be for a child. You know, in terms of, you know, mm-hmm. where when is my next meal going to occur? you know, not, you know, I mean, we say about 3 square meals a day.
Yeah.
No, and that's a good point. We have found 2 families that are modifying their own diet so their children can eat. Oh. And a lot of people will talk about, we have, you know, little canned items that are easy to open within those bags, those mm-hmm. food bags. And people are wanting, we'll add apples and things that are hearty, you know, that can mm-hmm. maintain. Mm-hmm. And but we share with people too, a lot of these children sometimes will hoard that food and hide it away so they have it for later. And so it's, you know, we can't put so many perishable items in there. It's good to have, you know, beef jerky that can
last. Or a little can of pudding something like that, those little mm-hmm. one-person servings.
Right, because they're keeping it in the closet, you know, just they never know when their next meal. There's 17% of our county are food insecure, and that's 1 in 5 children where they don't know where their next meal will come from. And so, and for me personally, I've worked in homeless education, and I come from human services mm-hmm. background. But here in Sandpoint, I did not realize the impact that the food bank has. I mean, it's phenomenal. And I don't only say that because I work there and I believe in it, but the impact that we make in this county is huge.
That was me.
Mic drop.
exactly. You know, that could you briefly mention about the different stores in town? Because whenever yes. I go to you make being good easy, and there's nothing in life that I like more than doing good but making it easy. Mm-hmm. And do you want to talk about that, Debbie?
Absolutely. Our grocery stores, our whole community is amazing. We do have a grocery rescue program where we pick up every morning from Walmart, Super One, Yolks, Winter Ridge. Am I missing one? Safeway. Mm-hmm. Safeway. And so every morning, that's great. We get to know all the people in the deli, the meat, you know, every department there. And we pick up food that's almost going to expire, and we're able to give that out. And then we also do our bags.
The bags. The wonder, you know, rather than when I go grocery shopping, having, okay, I've got to go over and get mac and cheese, you know, rather these are a $5 bag or a $10 bag, and you just throw it in with your groceries and it's perfect.
It's perfect, yes.
You know, I cannot thank the food bank for making it easy for one to do good, but the grocery stores, because somebody does have to put the items in the bags and staple them and everything like that. I just think it's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit more about, let's refresh, this is radio, mm-hmm. the Empty Bowl.
The Empty Bowl event, that's right. It's coming up on the 18th of November at at the Columbia Bank in the atrium there.
Yes.
Where we're all familiar. Who's providing that soup, by the way? Or is that you?
Judy from Tango.
Okay.
Yep. So it'll be fresh.
And, yeah, that'll be pretty good, I mm-hmm. imagine. Yeah. Right. The kitchen's right there, and they always do a pretty good job.
Yes.
Potato leek is a great soup,
too. It is. Yeah.
It's a good fall soup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We served it last year, and we got mm-hmm. great reviews. Judy does a nice job. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And that is from 4 to 8 on Saturday, November 18th. Yes. And does one need a ticket, or does one just simply show up there?
Just show up at the door. Mm-hmm. It's $20 per person.
And which entrance? The one on...
The parking lot.
Then you go through the main doors into the atrium.
Yep. Church Street.
Right. Church Street.
Or facing Church Street.
Yeah.
Right
there. And sponsored by the Washington Trust. One bank helping another bank.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
Yeah.
Maybe we could make a little partnership, a motto mm-hmm. out of that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. All of our banks, we have Washington Federal. She's doing a food drive for us there. And then Columbia Bank's doing a food drive. So mm-hmm. if a business is interested in a food drive, they can call us at 208-263-3663. And we can send over a barrel, and 'tis the season.
And the turkey trot.
The turkey trot when you say the season. Yeah.
Yes, that is on Thanksgiving morning.
Thursday, the...
The 23rd.
Thank you. And that's over at Traverse Park, and it benefits the food bank. So for the entry fee there to the it's a walk or run. 1 to 5 miles. It's really 1 to 3 miles. It's simple. It's fun. I've done it the last 7 years, and you just bring food, and they collect it there for us, and then deliver it to us. So
I could probably even walk a mile. Yeah, I think I can do that.
You could.
I love it.
Yeah,
you have all types there.
I can do that, but I'm not going to be here. But yes, I will be here on Thanksgiving Day.
Hey.
What the heck? Well, if I can walk across the Golden Gate Bridge 1.7 miles.
In the smoke.
In the smoke.
Oh, yeah. At great hazard to your health, Jim. You shouldn't do that.
But nothing like
that. Anyway.
What you can say is work up an appetite for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, that's why.
If you're fortunate enough to have Thanksgiving dinner, this is a great way to get out and do some good and then enjoy your dinner. Let's talk a little bit more about just in general about donating food, especially, we tend to think of Christmas and Thanksgiving, that time of year, as key drive times, but really it's all around the entire year. But how about donating food throughout the holiday seasons, both holidays?
We will take the food. We have sites, so we have barrels at Yoke's grocery store where people can drop off food there, the banks in town, but also we take it right at the facility, Monday through Friday, 8 to 3. And like I mentioned, we really appreciate the giving that people give, because a lot of times that food, we have so much, which is great that we can hold it over after the holidays as well.
How many turkeys are you hoping to get?
Thank you, Jim. We are hoping 900 turkeys.
900 turkeys.
So last year we distributed 850 turkey dinners throughout Priest River facility and the Sandpoint one. So
it says here, family served, items needed, volunteers needed, Thanksgiving distribution. What does that involve?
So the Thanksgiving distribution, we will hand out the turkeys and all the fixings on the week of Thanksgiving, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to our clients. And they are all registered with the food bank. And sometimes we'll have people that show up the day of. And to be registered at the food bank, we ask that they have proof of address, that they're Bonner County residents, any income coming into the household, and also a photo ID. So it's very simple.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the turkeys, do you have the facility to accept frozen turkeys and keep them frozen?
We do. We have a big walk-in freezer and also cabinet ice. He's out in Sagal. He opens up his freezers for us as well, and so we're able to take them out to him, which is great. And so we're able, make trips out to Sagal during the distribution time.
It all, everybody chips in.
Yes, it's wonderful.
What about year-round needs or right now? Anything that you're short on right now, if somebody's on their way to the grocery store, something they could grab off the shelves and bring down to the food bank?
Jack, I love to say this because when I'm on the show with you, peanut butter.
I knew it!
I was going to say peanut butter is probably... because that just goes, you could either eat it straight out of the jar or slap it on a piece of cardboard or whatever. I mean, peanut butter goes everywhere. How wonderful that, my mouth just watered. Uh-huh. I just wandered.
I know. Yeah, I think I'm going to have a little peanut butter and jelly for lunch now.
Good.
As soon as, once you start thinking about it. Don't you want some peanut butter?
Let's talk briefly that with Rhina and the Washington Trust Bank that they're going to be doing this in the springtime, aren't you? The food bowl.
Yes, absolutely.
The hunger, one place it's called Empty Bowl, another place the Hunger Bowl. It's going to be Saturday, April 7th. Boy, that seems so far away.
And that's not a soup event.
Yeah, it is.
Different kind of bowl.
It's a bowling
it's
event.
It's a bowl-a-thon.
Oh, because I was going to ask you, Debbie, what kind of soup do you serve in spring? So this is a bowling event. Is this at Huckleberry Lanes?
Yes.
Cool.
Okay, well, tell us about this and how long it's been going on and how long you've been involved. Raina, to you.
Well, last year was our first year, and I believe it was the first year that the food bank had put it on, and it was so much fun. My whole team went out, all of Washington Trust Bank, and we had a team, and we just bowled our little hearts out, donated funds, had a great time. It was a lot of
That's
fun.
That's a great facility, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a contest? Did you win?
No. Anytime I'm on a team for bowling, they can expect to lose.
But that's just it. You don't have to be a bowler.
Yeah. Well, it's bowling's fun, even if even if it's all gutter balls. It's always fun to go bowling. Well, that's a fun idea. Yeah. So, is there like a contest involved? Or is it just show up and bowl and bring a can or what?
Our first year we did, it was a contest. So all the teams that participated, we'd have three different times that would fit people's teams. And then we would average the scores. And they won these big, like, kingpin bowling yes. hats. And then I spray painted some bowling pins gold and made medallions on it.
Like the Academy Awards.
Exactly.
How wonderful. We've been here with Debbie Love from the Bonner Community Food Bank and Raina Dilemma from the branch manager, Washington Trust Bank. And they're here promoting the Empty Bowl Saturday, November 18th at the atrium of the Columbia Bank, 4 to 8. You get a bowl, you get potato leek soup, and the proceeds go to the food bank because they are heading into a very busy time. Want to thank both of you so much for taking time out of your schedules. Now you can go out and get wet.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And we're going to take a break and come back and talk about community events. And hopefully both of you will be on for the bowling event for next year.
We'd love to be here.
Absolutely.
We're always happy to see you. This is the number one song 50 years ago. We did 60 years ago with Wake Up Little Susie. All I have to do is say her name. She's like a one, you know, Madonna, a one person, Beyonce. All I have to say is this is the number one song, October 19th, 1967, Lulu. To Sir with Love, Lulu. It was the number one song on this date in 1967. And I'm looking at a movie poster and it says, a story as fresh as the girls in their minis.
Oh, that is fresh.
How's that for a throwback with Sidney Poitier to Sir with Love?
Is that the one? Did he end up winning an Academy Award for that? Or is that a different one?
No, he won the Academy Award for...
Heat of the Night, maybe.
That was Rod Steiger. Rod Steiger should have won it the previous year for Pawnbroker, but he won it for In the Heat of the Night. Sidney Poitier, I think, won it for A Patch of Blue. No, Lilies of the Field.
There it is.
Lilies of the Field. Duh. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness the phone would start ringing off the hook. But that was the number one song on October 19th, 1967. And we want to thank Debbie and Raina for coming in to talk about the Empty Bowl, Saturday, November the 18th, 4 to 8 at the Columbia Atrium at the Columbia Bank Building, Washington Trust Bank co-sponsor.
So, you know, we moved about, or my girlfriend and I moved, three, 4 months ago now? Time wears on. And we're still, the living room just isn't quite finished yet. We don't know how we're decorating. And I just figured it out. What we need is a bowling trophy. That's the centerpiece that's missing.
April 7th.
Yeah.
April 7th.
That's
there you
what
go.
We're gonna do. We'll get a nice golden pin painted by Debbie Love, and I'll just have to win the contest, I guess.
Put it on the mantle.
I'm gonna have to start practicing. You are listening to the KRFY Morning Show, and here we are. We have some upcoming events, as we always do. There is no such thing as a slow weekend in Sandpoint, it would seem.
Do you want me to kick off?
Yes, please.
With something that is going on all the time through next Sunday. Okay, and that is the online fundraiser for this radio station, 88.5 KRFY. Bidding for Good, October 14th, which is already passed. That was last Saturday, but will end this Sunday. It's the fall online auction, and you go to the easiest way to do it is go to KRFY's website and hit the button there that talks about the online auction, or you can go to www.biddingforgood.com/KRFY. And a lot of businesses as well as individuals have given wonderful items. And I have to admit, I have been bidding like crazy. You can get preseason Seahawks tickets for 2018 with a room at a Seattle luxury hotel, a tropic island condo, the Turks and Caicos, sailboat excursions, fine dining, flowers, event tickets. Check it all out. And for more information, you can call this radio station 208-265-2992. And again, so many neat items, and I've been bidding, and just stay away from those items, everyone.
Yeah.
Bid on the other ones, but it's just a great thing, and the money goes towards keeping the station ongoing.
Yes. And it's not just luxury items. There's some fun stuff, like, for example, I know one of our DJs is baking an apple pie.
Two pies. Two pies, and I've got the high bid on both.
No.
Yes. Okay. He donated one of the pies during our open house and our membership drive in June, and they are to die for.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's apple pies. And, you know, I praised him, and I said, is that your mom's recipe, grandma's? He says, no, it's the first time I made them. They are killer.
Does he, I wonder if he, well, I'm not. I can't get his recipe. Or I'll get his recipe, but off the air.
I don't mind if I get overbid.
Yeah.
I don't mind because, but they are so good.
There's a bag of organic carrots on sale from.
A 20-pound bag.
Yeah. Red Wheelbarrow Farms. There's all sorts of stuff. And do us a favor here at the radio station. At least go check it out. Look at what's available. That's one way
it's
help
fun,
support.
Fun to see the different businesses as well as individuals. All you need to do is go to the KRFY website, KRFY.org, and on the right-hand side, there is a place for fall online auction. Click that button. That's the easiest way to get there.
Coming up this weekend now, moving away from our little event and into what's going on all around the community, I have here... what do we got? What's today? The 19th? Today is the 19th.
All day, Jack.
All day long.
All day long, it's going to be the 19th.
It is the 19th.
Unless you're in Australia, and I think it's the 20th already.
It would have to be. Right?
I think it is.
I think so. Right, or at least on the other side of the international dateline. I should mention also that coming up here next week on the morning show is ongoing coverage of the... upcoming city council election here in Sandpoint. Local Decision 2017, part two of a two-part series. Last week we heard from, yesterday we heard from Shannon Williamson and Mose Dunkel and Rob Jedini. And coming up next week, John Darling, Jeff Bonoff, and Joel Espiro. That's... coming up next week
for
on Wednesday.
City
council candidates.
Right.
You can vote. If you live in the city of Sandpoint, there's three seats open. There are six candidates, and you can vote for three of them. So you'll want to get to know each and every one of these candidates running. On Tuesday, right before that, Laura Wolf and Barb Moore, biologists with Idaho Fish and Game, will be talking about the Panhandle Elk Mortality Study. And then a second interview with Catherine Peruse and Amy Topp with North Idaho 24-Hour Crisis Line. That's at 8 on Tuesday here on 88.5
on
KRFY. And next week, we're talking with Lisa DeFritis with Bonner Health Community Hospice.
I will not be here. You'll be with Carrie Logan. I must head to Northern Indiana to root on my Irish against... North Carolina State, but first they have to get by USC this weekend.
That's your destination.
Yep, South
and
Bend.
What if they don't get past USC?
I don't know if I will have put myself together back again. But it's fall football time, and just got to go.
You must go there. But there's no consolation game that you'll be seeing if they don't move on.
Well, it's just a great time to be on a lovely campus with two lakes and the leaves all changing. But next week, Jack will be on the 26th with Carrie Logan here.
Coming up this week here in this weekend here in Sandpoint. What do we got? Today being the 19th, we can tell you that it's Girls Pint Night out at the Idaho Poor Authority. Cool chicks, great beer, no dudes. Join Vicky at the big table for an evening tasting and talking about fresh hop beer, free and open to the public at the Idaho Poor Authority. There's music tomorrow night at the winery. There you go, Jim. With Daniel Mills. Join Daniel in his lyrical music that's sure to make you sing along at the Pondere Winery. Live music from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the winery. There's live music at the Poor Authority from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with two guys, Ken and Drew. That's on Friday the 20th, tomorrow. And then live music at the Cedar Street Bistro Wine Bar. The Wine Bar on the Bridge from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. with Mostly Harmless. 597-6530 for more information about music on the Bridge. It's Third Friday, which means it's time for Devin Wade at McDuff's Beer Hall, 220 Cedar Street. First Fridays with Devin Wade from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Come out and hear his boot tapping country tunes. The old tin can food truck will be on site. It's free and open to the public, but you got to be 21 to go to the McDuff's Beer Hall, which is not the same as McDuff's restaurant.
The beer hall is on Cedar.
Yeah.
The restaurant's on First.
There's a free movie coming up, proudly presented by Kinderhaven. It's a spooky one, though. Monster House. 7 p.m. in the Panada Theater on the 20th. That's tomorrow. 300 North First Avenue.
What time?
You don't know where it is. It's at 7 p.m. A costume parade across the stage prior to the lights going down. How about that?
Have you seen Monster House?
I have not.
It's fun.
I know.
It's fun.
Yeah. It got good reviews when it came out. I remember that a few years ago, I think.
Are you gearing up for Halloween?
I am. I don't even have a pumpkin yet, but I will be getting some pumpkins.
We have our candy ready. 750 pieces.
I do. Oh. I have a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups.
I take it. I hope you like them. I mean, it's always fun to have leftover candy that you like.
Yeah.
Rather than a bag of peanuts, you know?
You know,
we used to get peanuts in the shell. People would just take a handful and throw them in your bag, and we go, ugh.
What? That's not...
Or popcorn.
Yeah.
Maybe they take popcorn, just take a handful of
just
popcorn.
Just loose popcorn?
Loose popcorn. That's the way it was when I was growing up in my neighborhood.
That's no good.
Where were the Kit Kat bars?
Yeah. I am not ready yet for Halloween. It's amazing how fast the time goes by.
It gallops. It gallops.
We'll be, actually, next time we meet, we'll be looking right down the barrel at Halloween, which is on Tuesday the 31st. Live music at the 219 this Friday with the Missoula bass band, Andrea Harsel and Luna Roja, from 9 p.m. till midnight at the 219 Lounge, 219 North First Avenue, on First Avenue, which you can now safely drive down without any detours, as far as I'm aware.
I for some reason, I just thought, Jack, that they were going to continue down to Cedar. For some reason, I thought, because, you know, they've been progressing.
Yeah. They went pretty far down. And I think it was a sewer fix, not a street fix. Mm-hmm. So I guess they must have finished the damage line.
Maybe we've been on good sewer on our block here.
Maybe we have. Anyway, that's live music at the 219 on the 20th. The 3G tour is going on Saturday the 21st. I hope it's not dependent on the weather, because that's a cruise.
Yeah. It's going to be wet.
Yeah. It's a spectacular cruise to Green Bay from Hope, then on to Garfield Bay, where there's a great view of the south end of the lake, then onto the amazing cliffs of the Green Monarchs, and finally returning through the Islands of Hope, departing at 12:30 p.m. from Kramer Marina in East Hope. And that's go to lakeponderecruises.com or call 255-5253 for more information. The ladies paint and sip is now the witches paint and sip for the remainder of October. Join Uncorked Paint Sandpoint at the Pottery Bug for Witches Paint and Sip starting at 1 p.m. on Saturday. The featured painting.
Why not sip and paint?
Yeah, I don't know. The featured painting is Drink Up Witches. So bring something to sip on and a BF, a boyfriend. You can bring. I don't know. Anyway, a special. That's a special edition of the ladies paint and sip at Uncorked Paint Sandpoint, the Pottery Bug. there's the 65th, count them, 65th annual Harvest Dinner is going on at Northside Elementary School this Saturday. Celebrate fall and community at Northside Elementary's 65th annual Harvest Dinner from 4:30 p.m. till 6:30 p.m. at Northside Elementary. That's out on Colburn Culver Road. If you don't know where Northside Elementary is, it's a traditional Thanksgiving dinner with all the fixings and dessert, and listen to country plus while you visit your friends and neighbors.
That means it started in 1952 if they're celebrating their 65th.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I mean, an annual event going on for 65 years is something.
That's a chunk of time.
And especially out there, I didn't even know Northside Elementary had been there for 65 years. Sure, why not?
Why not?
Of course it had. There's plenty more going on, but you and I are
one reason why we're sort of fumbling around is usually there's a current event entertainment calendar posted, and I just grabbed the one that was hanging there, and I discovered that it was last week's, and I'm glad I didn't jump in with, hey, coming up at the Panda Radical Reels,
when it was last weekend.
But we want to thank again the Bonner Community Food Bank for the incredible job they're doing, and Washington Trust Bank for sponsoring many of their events. Can't say enough about the food bank and the incredible job that not only the employees, but also the volunteers do.
Two quick things. Well, there's from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, the musical journey featuring pianist Peggy Reich is coming up. That's in the Music Conservatory concert offering at 2 p.m. in the Heartwood Center. That's at 615 Oak Street at 2 p.m. on the 22nd, which is this Sunday. Journey through Latin America.
And that's the day when the online KRFY auction ends. Mm-hmm. So go to the KRFY website at KRFY.org. Look down the right-hand side and you'll see a little button that you hit, and that'll take you directly to bidding for good and bid away on some incredibly donated items. Highly recommend it.
Now stay tuned for Bird Note and the Nautilus Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.